This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not an offer or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell securities. SNN Network, SNN Inc., and the Planet Microcap Podcast and the representatives are not licensed brokers, broker-dealers, market makers, investment bankers, investment advisors, analysts, or underwriters. We do not recommend any companies discussed. We may buy and sell securities in any company mentioned and may profit in the event those securities rise in value. We recommend you consult with a professional investment advisor, broker, or legal counsel before purchasing or selling any securities referenced in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft. Thank you all so much for the support and for tuning in. Do me a quick favor. If you like what you hear at Planet Microcap, please take 2 seconds and give us 5 stars on Spotify or Apple. This helps with the search engine so that more folks can also discover and engage with all things microcap stocks. First off, thank you to everyone who participated in the Planet Microcap Showcase Vegas 2024. This was our biggest event to date, and that's thanks to all of you. I'm already excited about what we have in store for the rest of 2024, and especially excited for what we have in store for 2025. We are taking everything up a notch, and I am so pumped to share more information with you soon. There was so much that happened at the Planet Microcap Showcase Vegas 2024 that I thought it would be fun to do a post-event debrief. Joining me were arguably the two busiest people at the event besides our staff, Maj Swayed-Don from GeoInvesting and Matthew Martin from the Rivemont Microcap Fund, who between them did 14 fireside chats with management teams, attended additional presentations on top of that, and did another 20 to 25 one-on-ones combined on Thursday. In our chat today, we talked about what Q&As and companies stood out to them, as well as differential insights gained from the one-on-ones and Q&As that they participated in. Thank you again for tuning into the Planet Microcap Podcast, and please enjoy my conversation with Maj Swayed-Don and Matthew Martin. Maj, Matthew, we survived. We survived, dude. Look at us. We're back in action. Back home. Back away from fantasy land.
That was a grind, man.
To say the least, dude. I mean, look, I figured, you know, for those who are watching this on YouTube, I figured it'd be appropriate to wear my Get a Win hat, you know, to just showcase the post conference rage fest that was like the David Guetta Encore Beach Club, which is absolutely insane.
Nice.
Yeah. But listen, I needed to unwind too. It was a crazy week. And look, just real quick before we get into, you know, because our whole goal today is that we're going to do a little bit of a recap of the event. You know, I'm going to juice my event as much as I can of content as possible. So, you know, I thought it would be fun, but also, I mean, in all seriousness, Matthew wrote a great recap of the event. Maj has put out a couple great tweets about, you know, his experience in Vegas and Q&As and stuff. So we'll get into all that. But I firstly just again want to thank everyone who's listening in that either attended in person, listened to any of the webcasts. Very much appreciate you. We can't do this event without your guys' support and showing up and being engaged and all that good stuff. So truly, thank you again. Thank you. Thank you. And also thank you to my guests here today for all of their hard work. I mean, it's, you know, these guys are pros, but you still got to put in a ton of effort and work to host the Q&As that they did with, I think combined you guys did about 15 or 16 Q&As with management teams on Wednesday the 1st. And then, of course, did another, you know, 10 or 13 one-on-ones the next day. So
17.
Yeah, there you go. So it's been very much a grind for you two as well. So kudos to you both. Thank you again for doing that. So figured let's get into it. I mean, I figured we'd start off again. You don't have to pat me on the back or anything like that. We've gotten some overwhelmingly, you know, wonderful things being said about the event, and we do appreciate all that. But, you know, quick takes from Vegas now that we have had a couple days to kind of, you know, let it all settle in, all the information, all of our notes and everything like that. You know, Matthew, let me start with you.
Yeah, well, you know, Bobby, you said you don't want a pat on the back, but you deserve one because it was truly an exceptional event. Thanks for putting this together. I think it was the biggest so far. And, you know, what I like about the Planet Microcap Showcase is the quality of the companies. I mean, it's like in all conferences, you'll get a mix of high quality companies, maybe lower quality companies, or at least, like, I'm saying this just based on my criteria. Like, to me, a, quality company is a company that is growing, profitable, solid balance sheet. Those are my criteria. And you know, the proportion of, according to me, high quality companies at your conference is probably way higher than a lot of other conferences I look at. So to me, that's, I mean, it made it a very productive trip. I was able to catch up with a lot of my portfolio companies, new opportunities, companies on my watch list. And also, I think when you have a good lineup of companies, you also get, you attract high quality investors as well. So it all works synergistically in a way. And so for me as well, you know, meeting great people, meeting new investors and sharing ideas. Like sometimes the best ideas come from the happy hours or the breaks when you chat with other people. So, so I picked up a few interesting ideas that actually weren't at the conference, just by talking to other investors. So, overall, it was really good. Thanks
awesome.
For that.
No, thank you for that, Matthew, for you know, your kind words. Now I'm going to turn to Maj for him to like lay into me a little bit. It's mostly because I rope him into doing more work than he's like, fine. It's, you know.
No, I was pleasantly surprised. Man, I think I echo, you know, Matthew's you know, sentiment there. I mean, I remember, I don't know when your first conference I went to was. It was 2016 maybe or something?
16 or 17, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, really it's been cool to see you grow and improve the conference over the years. I mean, I think at that time your mix wasn't as good as it is now. Now it's incredible, I think. You know, you've really, you've taken the advice, you know, of many people who told you, you know, you bring more quality. And, you know, I know it's tough for you as running a conference because you got to balance, you know, running an event and getting companies there. But I thought this year was a great year in terms of how you kind of balanced, you know, the quality with this, you know, with speculative. It's okay to have speculation there too, right? To kind of get those, you know, maybe ones that maybe we're not looking at as quality today, but maybe they will become quality one day. So I thought you did a great thing of blending it up. I liked about it too. There was a good blend of companies I thought that were kind of maybe timely now, but also those maybe that are still quality, but, you know, inflection points are maybe a few quarters down the road. So it's good kind of to get a view of those kind of companies that maybe not aren't inflecting yet, but might in the future. So going to these conferences kind of gives you an inside baseball look at some of those companies and the management teams before they might like hit those inflection points. So I thought that was really good. There was a lot of those companies there I thought that were sitting there that maybe being ignored by investors, but a few things come and they're quality companies, they're profitable. Maybe not growing just yet, but a few quarters, things hit, you know, hit the ball rolling. They're going to grow, and you being there first to see, that's great. Of course, meeting other investors and, you know, just powing back and forth. I got the sense too, man, that like the executive teams that where I was talking really enjoyed the conference too, and liked being there. There seemed to be a little more networking than between CEOs and management teams and investors, like, you know, maybe some after party dinners or whatever, or after conference dinners. I don't know, you don't love that almost because it's taken away from your
no, I know what
your happy hour, but it was good. I thought it was good. It was a good mix.
Yeah, sorry.
I really enjoyed that. And so yeah, like I'll go to conferences in the past, Matthew. I mean, it's like you'll just hear, I'll be talking to a CEO, like, what am I doing here? You know, I didn't hear it here. It was more like really complimentary of what you're doing. You know, and how you, and I think of you too, Bobby, how you know you kind of have a personal touch with everybody, not only investors, but even the management teams there. So, yeah, I thought it was really a greatly run conference, and, you know, keep it up, man.
Thank you.
Keep bringing the quality.
Heck yeah. No, thank you, dude. Man, you guys are being really too kind. And that's not the reason I wanted to do this morning. I promise, like, to put out this pod. You know, I mean, what actually, just to hit on something you said is, you know, look, I tell every investor, if they're looking at coming to our event, not only, you know, you want to do, you know, meet as many companies, all that kind of stuff, and getting their input on what they want to see. But I also tell them, like, look, this should be the most inexpensive conference you go to, because you should be jumping on every IR dinner, every banking dinner,
Every company dinner, like you, all you should really have to do is pay for your flight and your hotel to get there. And you should be, if you're doing it right, you should be fed the entire time and probably well, especially because it's Vegas, man. I mean, there's so many great places to eat. But
Right.
so let's dig into it a little bit. Jumping, Maj, coming right back to you. You did, I think, what did you do this year? Seven, eight
Yeah, I think it was
Q&As.
right. Yeah.
Any differential insights or things that came out of doing those Q&As that maybe you didn't expect in terms of information amongst, that you got from the company? Matthew, I'm gonna ask you the same question as well, but I figured I'd start with Maj first.
You know, I think it was just great to catch up with a lot. I mean, a lot of these companies. I mean, I knew about their stories already, a lot of them, right? And I just want to kind of confirm what I already knew and to see if they'll, you know, that bullishness or bearishness, whatever might be the case, will be kind of, you know, echoed in these calls. But you know, in terms of differential insights, I mean, I think we got definitely we're able to. The cool thing about the way we're doing these fireside chats, as opposed to just a presentation, because you're talking about like, you know, this rapid fire management team is coming on for 25 minutes, giving like a 5 minute presentation, and then we're doing a little Q&A on them afterwards. And I think that way really is a new way of it's kind of a cool way of doing it live, and you just things come out in the conversation that you never really might have thought about, because when you're sitting there w talking, you know, face to face with the management team, just the conversation just evolves differently than when it's on a phone or a Zoom call. So yeah, I think there was some really good stuff. I think, you know, if you looked at on my track there, I was really my favorite of the bunch, and it's if am I allowed to do
Hey, you can go your favorite as
that?
long as you disclose you own some of
Okay.
it
Sure,
or
I
not.
am.
It'd
Yeah, it
be
was.
kind of funny if you're favorite and you didn't own any of it.
I knew we were talking about getting Lakeland to come to the conference, LAKE, and I really wanted that to happen. I wasn't, you know, sure if they were going to come, if it was the right time for them to come. And then glad they said yes, and you convinced them to come. And I really enjoyed, you know, speaking with them. And it was Lakeland, in my opinion, is a company that's kind of one of those typical hated companies. It's associated with PPE and, you know, COVID and stuff, and I wanted to hear the new direction the company is going, and I'm really impressed with the team there. So I just think it was an interesting company that's timely now and might have like 2 to 3 runway of growth. I had talked to the company several times, you know, but never had not met the team yet. So it was an awesome time opportunity to meet them. So, but yeah, they you know, the difference is right there. You know, they've been growing through some nip and tuck acquisitions to kind of reduce their exposure to, the pandemic type of, you know, revenue, that the benefits they would get. And they're making, you know, nip and tuck acquisitions in these areas that are not as cyclical. And he kind of hinted in the conversation that they got a couple more queued up and coming up soon. So that was kind of cool to get that kind of information and hear that. It was also cool to, I mean, I can go on and on by, but that was probably like the, you know, I think each company I interviewed, you know, had some interesting piece of information that was new. It was really cool to have GLGI there, Grayson Logistics. I know you interviewed them on your show, and then they make plastic pallets. By the way, Lake is PPE, you know, protective, equipment, I guess. What is it? What does that PPE stand for, Bobby?
Private
Personal protection equipment. Yeah, I
yeah.
think something like that, maybe.
So, by the way, share or do you own any Lake or GLGI?
Yeah, I do. I
Okay.
do. Yeah, Lake makes the hazmat suits and everything, and so yeah, so and you know, so GLGI was interesting, where it's you wanted to really dig into the. It's been around for these guys have been around for a long time. You interviewed the CEO, and I had a chance. I talked to him, you know, a few times over the years, and got to meet him for the first time. And it was cool to hear his kind of understanding of the industry, and taking us through like the pain, you know, and suffering they had to go through in terms of maybe companies not being ready to adopt plastic pallets as fast as they thought they would, but they still powered through and grew. And we learned there that the growth could probably maybe accelerate because they increased their manufacturing capacity the first time in a long time. So that was cool to hear that and kind of get that bit of information there. So
absolutely.
Each company had something, Bobby, but you know, I'll let Matteo go here and see what he had to say about the companies he interviewed.
Real quick on GLGI, you know, that was that, like, you know, I obviously interviewed Warren, I think it was a year ago, about 6 months ago, something like that. And when talking to his IR guy, he's like, look, he's so focused on the business. If you can get him to respond to your email that he will come, man, power to you. And so when he wrote back saying he was in, I was like, you know, Tom Brady style, let's effing go, you know.
But, it was good too, but he, like, when
he hasn't done anything in a long time.
No. I don't think he ever came out until your thing here.
Yeah.
And you know, there were some questions that
I have a list of white whales that I go after every year. And check. GLGI.
He was cool ahead and controversial. I came with some questions like about related party transactions and these things. And he was cool and gave a great answer. It was good to hear him talk, be able to answer questions on controversy or maybe that, you know, other CEOs might have gotten upset about asking questions on those factors.
Maybe I'll use his kind words on the event and just send that over to like CryoCell or something for them to finally use. Full discussion, not a shareholder, even though I do, and I use the product, you know, with kids, you know, you definitely use the product. Anyway, sorry, Matthew, same question to you. You know, what's it out amongst the Q&As, differential insights, things you didn't expect, or, you know, if you want to give a favorite, that's always very quality podcasty stuff. Maj just did it. I love it. So, yeah, Matthew, go for it.
Yeah, I can. Well, you know, it was my first time doing those types of Q&As. I did six. I think it was great, and I think especially like for people that sat in on those presentations, you know, I feel like it can be more helpful to do it in the Q&A format, because like I can kind of point the company into the right direction of what they should talk about, or like basically, I was trying to highlight what I personally like about those companies. So like talking about the competitive advantages and the growth opportunities and things like that. So, you know, I think overall it was pretty good. At least I got good feedback from the sessions. And, you know, maybe, you know, if you want to talk about a few names, I think, you know, the most entertaining one was probably the Yerba Brands presentation, and my fund owns the stock. Like the CEO is like he's very extroverted, very like high energy, such a good presenter. So I think people really liked it. His background is especially interesting because, you know, he's been in the energy drinks category for like, I don't know, like decades probably. He was part of the team that built up three energy drink brands that were sold to either Coca-Cola or Pepsi. And he decided to start his own energy drinks brand called Yerba with his wife. So he knows the industry inside out. And I think that was very valuable for people to hear from him. And then, were you able to?
I was going to say, going in, I sat in on that presentation a little bit, and I remember a couple investors in there were just like, man, when he presented at this last event, this was the best one we had seen. So we're excited to see it again. It's like, wow, that is a bad. Okay. Like, let's see what goes on here. And I mean, you guys did a great job, of course. It was definitely very interesting learning. I got to sample. I thought I'd had it before too. Some of the energy drinks, and I think you guys it was at like around 3:30 in the day, and as soon as I had one, I mean, just from firsthand experience, that I think I was flying for the rest of, like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline going, but with little of that caf that yerba drink, I was like,
yeah,
I was flying pretty fast.
Yeah, no, same for me. And like, I really like the product. You know, they sent me, because it's not sold in Canada, it's only in the US, but the company was able to send me some samples, I think last year.
It reminds me of Spindrift, right? Like, it kind of tastes like just your, like an energy drink, but in Spindrift form, where it's like there's flavor, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're drinking just one of these sugary energy drinks.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I mean, it's zero calories, so zero sugars. But yeah, it's like, it feels like a really good healthy alternative to other energy drink brands. So I mean, I'm a big fan of the product and big fan of the management team as well. So
sure. Full disclosure,
that's a good start.
Full disclosure, not a shareholder, Yerba, but I like to drink. It was very good. So. Oh, sorry, Matthew, finish.
Well, I can mention another one if you like. I think, you know, the standout for me from the Q&As I did was BQE Water, also a shareholder in my fund. You know, this company has been under the radar for many, many years. It's actually a turnaround from, I think, 2016, when the new CEO and chairman came on board and decided to turn around this company. And they did successfully, but you know, it's been a long time in the making, and now you get this company that's been developing recurring revenue streams. It's growing, it's profitable. They have a solid balance sheet, and now they're just starting to tell the story and go out and meet with investors. So they were kind of reluctant at first to come to the conference, and I kind of pushed them a little bit, like you should really consider the Planet Microcap Showcase. If you're going to do an event, I think that's a good one to consider. And they decided to come, and I think they were really pleased with how it turned out.
Say so, the yeah. least, right? You were CC'd on that email. They were very, very stoked. And that's
good. No, actually, I met them on the 101. I had a 101 with them, and I think that was the last one you put me on to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I liked them too, Matteo. Down there when I had a 101 with them the next day, I was really impressed with what they're doing.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, like, just the elevator pitch. It's a water treatment services company. So they and their end market is the mining industry. So they treat water for mines that are in production, and so they sell, you know, technical services up front when the mines are going through the permitting stage. And then once the water treatment system is built and it's operating, they operate the system, and it's with their own IP. They have patents on their technology, so they are basically the only ones in the world that have the expertise and the know-how to operate these plants. And so they get like really long-term recurring revenues on those operations contract. And so that, I, you know, to me, it's a very attractive business model. And then, you know, meeting the management team in person for the first time was, I mean, I think it's a top-notch management team. Like, I don't want to sound like overly bullish, but like it's probably one of the top 10 management teams I've met since I started investing in microcaps. So that really increased my conviction in this opportunity after the conference.
And it was cool too, is that I think after a mine's decommissioned, they still have to treat the water for years and years after that. So
yeah, exactly. So they can, once they get embedded into a project, they can generate revenues for upwards of 20 years.
Yeah. I know. I think they changed. I don't know what the previous model was, Mateo, but I think they changed their model when these new guys came in, right? In terms of how they were generating revenue.
Yeah, exactly. So I think back in the days, I think, I'm not sure about that, but I think they were paying for the CapEx of the equipment instead of the mine operator paying for the CapEx. And then they would generate revenues based on, you know, they treat water, there's metal in the water, they recover the metal, they sell it at prevailing market prices. So they're dependent on how much metal they recover, what and the commodity prices. So it was like a very unpredictable business model. So now they just charge, like, the customers pay all the CapEx, and BQE generates revenues based on the volume of water treated, regardless of what metals in there, they just give it back to the customer. So it's much more predictable recurring revenue now.
So what do you think of you interviewed BioRem, right? That was a
yeah, I did. Yeah,
pretty interesting company, I thought too, with what's going on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's interesting. So this is one of the companies that I consider high quality at the conference. They're growing profitable. My fund owns the stock, by the way.
I know too.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, they've grown their backlog quite significantly in the last couple of years, and the thing that's happened, I guess, more last year, was that there were delays in delivering, getting those projects approved and delivered and installed. So they sell to municipalities and like those are infrastructure projects. And with the inflation that happened, there were all the projects were coming in over budget. So the cities had to go back and get new budgets approved. And so that delayed the delivery of some of those projects that they have in the backlog. So, it can be lumpy from quarter to quarter, depending on
right.
what they can deliver. But if you look at, on a yearly basis, and with the backlog they have, it seems like it's retrending in the right direction for them.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get some recurring revenue coming in here too with some of their other services, I believe. But
yeah, so it, exactly. So historically, they sell biological air treatment systems. So essentially, there are like bacteria that are eating the pollutants in the air, if you will. And so when it's operating, it's just operating. You don't need to touch it. You don't need to do anything with the system. But they started selling now other types of systems that have like filters or disposable components in there that the customers need to replace over time. So that should bring in more recurring revenue over time as they commercialize those new systems that they develop.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. BioRem, that I think I thought I was going to have you guys battle that one out, when we were figuring out who's going to do the Q&A with them. Matthew got in under the wire just before Maj did with his list of companies he wanted to interview. So, I think Maj, that's why Maj had to ask as well, Matthew. He's just, there's a little bit of bitterness there too.
No bitterness.
You got to it before he came.
I didn't even know it was a battle. That was too easy.
He's causing controversy here, Mateo.
That's really my whole goal with every year with Vegas was make controversy. I'm speaking of which, no, Matthew, you hit on actually one of the interesting points from the podcast panel that I'll be sharing publicly next week from Artem, which I thought was very fast. I'll save that one because we're also, I think, going to do a lot longer podcast on his point. Just as a little taste, we talk about his controversial point of view was that when you look at I'm reading directly from your thing, Matthew, because I'm still hungover from Vegas. But he said his point being was that when you look at historical returns for microcaps, the asset class has overperformed compared to large caps over a long time. However, that hasn't been the case recently, and most people expect a reversion to the mean. And he makes the argument that he doesn't think that'll happen. So stay tuned on a fun pod with that as well. But going back to kind of our goal at hand, we talked a little bit about the Q&As. You mentioned a little bit about some of your one-on-ones. Were there any amongst the one-on-ones, which are the private meetings that we do on Thursday every half hour, any surprises or interesting insights that came about from any of those meetings? Maj, you want to go first on that?
Yeah, I think I liked that a lot of these you hooked me up with and that I asked you to meet were a lot of these companies that I think I would have had on the tier one panel we did had it been the timing a little better. But so I wanted to understand more about where they were in their growth areas like we talked about earlier. But I met BioRem, which I like a lot, and I own that. So we just talked about that. I thought that was really good. It was kind of cool to kind of meet this company called NextGL, NXGL. They're kind of in my backyard here. Well, I'm originally from the suburbs of Philly, even though I'm in Florida, Puerto Rico now. But I'm so on this trip to Vegas.
The only non Bitcoiner that's Florida, Puerto Rico. I should have. Anyways, sorry.
Whenever I travel to your conference, or I travel at all, I make it a point to come back to Pennsylvania to meet my brother and my mom. They live here still. So NextGel is, you know, in the suburbs of Philly. They're real close to where I live here. So I was really excited to go see them in Vegas, the 101, then hopefully if I liked it or was at least curious about it, maybe I'd go to see a site visit while I'm here. So I did that. So I came to Vegas, came here, and then actually 2 days ago, did the site visit with them. So that was cool to see, you know, interview them. You know, I met the CEO in Vegas, and then 2 days later having the on-site visit to verify what they've been saying was kind of cool, fresh in the mind. So I don't own any stock yet, by the way, in the stock, but they make hydrogels or other gels used like in wound care products. You know, you'll see them, you know, pads you put in your skin. And so they have a big contract, a partnership with a big pharma company. And everyone's waiting for that to catalyze because it's been pushed out. So that company is going to use their pads and their medical device for treatment or for removing cellulite. So I kind of want to get an idea of, you know, how that partnership was going, why it's been delayed in terms of getting everything deployed there. So, but that was a cool thing to go see the facility. We took some pictures and met the team there. So that was cool. But that's a great example of, we were talking about earlier, okay, it's an interesting company. It just hasn't hit yet, right? So you kind of want to get a pulse on when it might hit, or if you think it will even hit, you know, base, because a lot of companies will tell you that, you know, great things. We need to go through the BS, you know, kind of monitor and find out who's telling the truth and or which ones are more probable happening.
Or like harkening back to your China days, just like, oh, it exists. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. You're not going to fool me here.
Yeah, no.
But that was, I thought that was good. I'm going through here. BioRam, we talked about. Live, I thought LVDW was another one of those interesting companies. You know, it's like a digital agency, you know, a marketing agency, software, solutions all around that. I kind of want, it's another one of those that they've been profitable for years, but not really growing. And I wanted to kind of see if there's an inflection there. So I'm curious to watch that story to see if some of the things they're doing there will help change the trajectory of the growth there. I thought that the valuation wasn't too ridiculous. You know, BioScent was interesting. You know, I know this is the OTC symbol, the BIOYF, right? Now we've met them in the Microcap Club for the first time. I remember meeting them years ago. And I really never had a one-on-one with a guy. I mean, we know in terms of just, hey, I see all these conferences, but we never had a meeting. So I wanted to take that meeting. I think you pushed me into meeting too, Bobby, a little bit. Hey, you should probably meet him. So that was great. And it was another one of those things where, you know, they're just growing slowly right now, but they have some things in the pipeline that could really change the trajectory of things. And I wanted to understand what that was, so I know what to monitor when I'm looking at the story. So if those things come through, this thing's in the growth rate on that's going to significantly accelerate beyond where it's at now. I don't own any stock, by the way, in any of these so far we've talked about.
I did the Q&A with BioScient. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Rene, the CEO, is like really, really solid, like long-term thinker, solid operator. I mean, the company's been profitable for, I think, 12 years in a row, every quarter or something like
right.
that. And yeah, just to echo some of your points, like the current product portfolio that they have, some of the some of these products are in the launch phase right now, so they're starting to grow, and he thinks that they can double the business, the current revenue base, with the current portfolio that they have over the next, I think he said 5-6 years in the
right.
Q&A. I asked him that question, and then I think maybe one point that people might underestimate is that they have a lot of cash on the balance sheet. I think probably close to 30 million in cash. And you know, Rene's been looking for deals, looking for acquisitions or in licensing opportunities for, you know, several years, and hasn't done much or hasn't done anything really big or like super meaningful with this cash pile so far. So I think people are giving him no credit for like, you know, it's a cash pile, it's sitting there, it's a drag on returns. But at some point, I feel like maybe this cash pile will be like a really attractive asset for like moving quickly on opportunities when the market is there for them. Like, and who knows when or why it will happen, but if there are some distressed opportunities in the market and nobody has cash to act on them, but Biosign does, I think that's where you'll create a lot of value. So I think we shouldn't forget that as well.
Yeah, I really liked, you know, I think he's a great great operator for sure. And you know,
yeah.
he's not too, I like about his approach, he's not averse to risk, but he's still conservative in the way he grows the company, you know, and he can kind of get you, it looks like, you know, if he's gonna pull the trigger on something, it's probably got a high probability of success. And is the way I thought about that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, BQE, I like them a lot. And I guess my favorites, you know, in terms of maybe timeliness, were BQE Water, and then BioRem, if you can get through the lumpiness, I think is a really interesting company on the one-on-ones I met there, Bobby. And I own BioRem. I don't own a BQE yet, but I want to. So hopefully Mattel will sell some soon. cause a crash. you know, I don't, the Dolphin Entertainment was an interesting company. I think Bobby kind of were talking to me about that. I it wasn't really on my list, but then I became interested because maybe I want to learn more about their business, which has they help companies with their part of the division with their social media efforts to kind of grow the business. And I want to hear more about that. And because there's a company that I own that I might want to connect them with to maybe test the waters and see how well this services really work to help them maybe sell product through, you know, the influencer type of networking model. So that was kind of cool to learn more about that. And maybe that I could connect them and it might, maybe it'll work out for a company I own. So
nice, dude. Look at that. You gave me the full recap of
biz development.
Look at that. Oh my goodness. Very cool. And so Matt, do same thing, you know, kind of went through the Q&As. I mean, from a one-on-ones perspective. And what was interesting about your list too, in seeing some of your requests, like usually I know you as just, you know, mostly Canadian focus. And I know that's still the case, but you also were looking at some, you know, more US listed companies that might have hit some of your metrics. So I'll hear your feedback on some of your one-on-ones, some things.
For sure. Well, maybe I can address that first point you mentioned. You know, my focus is really on the Canadian market. As I think you know, I try to be the expert on the Canadian microcap market. I read all the press releases every day to make sure I don't miss anything. I don't do this in the US because the market is much larger and I just don't have the bandwidth to do it. But, you know, I'll look at opportunities from time to time. Typically, it's like maybe I found it on like Microcap Club, for example, or somebody recommended it to me, like a US investor told me, like, you should look at this one. And also, I think, you know, Philippe Lapointe, my analyst, he's been, I guess, more interested than me in the US market in general. So he's been searching a little bit more on the US side. So that's kind of complementary as well with, you know, like I really look only at the Canadian market. He's been looking more on the US side. So I think that's why we started to meet with a few US companies. Although I think we own maybe one US company right now in the portfolio. So it's a really small part of what we do. But if we find something is interesting, why not? So
throwing Philippe under the bus. He's catching strays here. Just kidding, sorry.
Yeah. So I mean in terms of one on ones, I think the most interesting insight for me from the conference was when I met McCoy Global. I don't own the stock. It's basically they sell oil and gas well construction equipment. So they're somewhat tied to the oil and gas industry and indirectly to how this industry is going, so oil prices in general and rig counts and things like that, all the things that I typically don't follow and don't look at because it's too cyclical for me. So this company, I mean, I met them a couple times already, and I always thought like that sounds interesting because they have like an existing installed base of equipment that's out there, and they sell spare parts, and they have like a kind of a recurring revenue component to their business. And then they, over the last couple of years, they've been developing new technologies as well. So they call it like smart technologies. It allows the operators to reduce the number of people that are on site doing like very dangerous, dirty work. So they remove costs by removing salaries, and they also improve the safety of the rigs by a lot. So I thought those technologies were really interesting and an interesting way to tackle this industry. So I've been following the company for a while, and at the conference I brought up the point again, like can you walk me through like how tied you are with oil prices or oil and gas drilling activity? And he said that in the US last year, the number of the rig count was down 25% in the US, and they were able to double their business in the US because they were gaining market share with their new technologies that they just started to commercialize. So I thought that was really interesting to me because, the stock is trading at, I think right now, a little over 3x EV to EBITDA. I would kind of assume that, they are at peak earnings and this is cyclical and that's why it's trading at such a low multiple. But then, if even in a soft market, they can gain market share and keep growing their revenues, then maybe it's not that cyclical or not that exposed to a soft oil and gas market. So, if these earnings are sustainable and it's at 3x, I mean, that could be a really big winner. So I think that one is worth researching a little bit more. And that's our plan as we get back from Vegas.
I remember seeing them at the Paul's conference, I think yeah. They were there. And I'm meeting them one-on-one. I had a pretty good feeling about the management team there, where they were going, yeah, too. But they're really the... really trying to do a lot, like automation,
yeah,
right, and helping the process go without quicker and without manual effort, I think, but remember.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I agree. The management looks solid, and they had one of their investors and director that was there as well at the conference, and he's been really helping the company to better communicate with investors and also with capital allocation. So they did a few capital allocation moves in the last couple of years that created value for shareholders. So I think it's a really well-run business.
Very cool. I mean, look, we cover quite a bit here today. I mean, we're running right up against an hour, Maj. So I don't know, we might save our next MSM update for the following week on, the tier one index and stuff like that. But, final thoughts then on Vegas, where I can improve, I guess it's pretty, I'll answer that one first off, like, yes, there, I can always, make it 100%. On the spectrum of interesting to high quality. But, final thoughts on Vegas, final thoughts on investor conferences in general, maybe. I don't know. You know, let's close this out. Let's close this out here. So, Matthew, back to you, and then Maj, you close.
Yeah, well, honestly, I don't see like very significant improvements you could make. I mean, it's already a very well-run event. I think just maybe keep growing, keep adding new companies. If you get over 100 companies next year, there's even more choice for people that are attending of companies to look at and meet with. Other than that, no, I think you did a great job. So I'll be back next year for sure.
Nice. There we go. Maj.
No, I think it was, I don't really have, I think you're just doing a great job and just keep doing more of what you're doing here. I think the blend of quality was great. So I don't really have many suggestions for you there.
Let's do a poker tournament.
No, then you're going to friggin' win, dude. That's not fair. Little does everybody know. Look, there's been a lot of space in between when you first started and now where you're at today. People are going to forget, like, oh, yeah, Matthew was a professional poker player before he came into microcaps, you know? Like, make sure I'm going to remind everybody now before that idea finds any legs. make sure you're at a significant disadvantage so that, you know, we're all at a handicap. But anyways, again, thank you guys for coming. That was so much fun. And just so everyone knows, I didn't pay them to say all these nice things. This is totally organic. And, you know, that wasn't the point of talking on the pod today. It was to really dig into, you know, some of the ideas that they got direct exposure to via Q&A and also one-on-one. And that's really fun. So with that, Maj, where can people go and find more information about MS Microcaps as well as Geo Investing?
Yeah, you can go to Geo at geoinvesting.com, as well as our Twitter handle, which is at Geo Investing. My Twitter handle is at Maj Geo Investing. For MS, you can just we have a Substack, which is MS Cliff Notes. But we're already thinking about changing the name because of you, though. Just remember, we're still doing it.
Because my miss microcaps crack. Yeah. Matthew, it looks like it's a, you know, it's MS. My like the first thing I thought was like, oh, this is, you know, microcaps single girl out on the market, right? You know, miss microcaps, hello. I mean, Maj, don't change the name on my account now. It's too good. Now it's in the zeitgeist. It's in the microcap podcasting zeitgeist. You can't change.
Maybe it'll be good. I don't know. Maybe that's what you want. I don't know.
I think
so. our Twitter handle is MS Microcaps on Twitter. So
very cool. Matthew, what about you? Where can people go and find? By the way, Modar has great newsletters. I think they're really fantastic. Great research on there. But you all should check out Matthew's newsletter as well, Stocks and Stones. Really awesome, great info, quick hitter, very similar style actually as the MS Cliff Notes, where it's given that quick synopsis, quality, engaging writing right away. So Matthew, with all that said, where can people go and subscribe to that?
Yeah, thanks for the comments on the newsletter. So yes, Stocks and Stones on Substack. It's a free weekly newsletter. I write mostly about the Canadian microcap space. So I talk about some companies, although I'm not making any recommendations. I talk about the space in general, what's happening, what are the news every month that caught my attention. And also I talk a little bit about some personal trail running adventures as well, because I do some crazy stuff on that front too. And then
crazy stuff on that front. and I'm now a distance runner myself, and your shit, like, I look like a peon compared to the stuff you got going on. 110. He's doing a 110 kilometer race, Maj.
Jeez.
It's like, I can't even count that high.
Like, it's insane. Yeah. It's going to hurt, that's for sure. So.
Yeah. It's made the least, dude. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, guys, thanks so much for doing this with me today. I'm sure we'll do another recap. You know, after obviously the next event, which will be in Vancouver, September 25 and 26. So definitely mark your calendars there. And yeah, dudes, have a great weekend. This is a lot of fun, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bobby.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not an offer or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell securities. SNN Network, SNN Inc., and the Planet Microcap Podcast and the representatives are not licensed brokers, broker-dealers, market makers, investment bankers, investment advisors, analysts, or underwriters. We do not recommend any companies discussed. We may buy and sell securities in any company mentioned and may profit in the event those securities rise in value. We recommend you consult with a professional investment advisor, broker, or legal counsel before purchasing or selling any securities referenced in this podcast.
In addition, the Rivemont Microcap Fund owns shares in BioScientific.